You're listening to a podcast of This Positive Life, TheBody.com's growing collection of first-person stories from people living with HIV.
This is Erica Nelson reporting for The Body. Welcome to This Positive Life. I'm here today with 33-year-old Fortunata Kasege. Fortunata was diagnosed with HIV in 1997 when she was pregnant with her daughter. At that time, she had just immigrated from Tanzania to the U.S., and she found out. Fortunata now lives in Houston, Texas with her daughter, who is HIV negative and now 10 years old, and Fortunata works with the Campaign to End AIDS. Welcome to This Positive Life.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
What was the first thing you did when you were diagnosed?
Well, like anybody who would receive this kind of news, I was terrified. I just don't remember being that much scared ever in my life. It's just a horrifying moment for me. I just fell and cried hysterically, and it took a long time for me to recover from that news.
Where were you when you found out?
I was at the nurse's office. Actually, they had called me just a few weeks after they took my blood work and other tests for the initial visit, prenatal visit. So they called me before my appointment date and told me that I need to go in the office, and still, that was the last thing I was expecting to hear. And they told me, and of course, one of the first questions I asked the nurse was, is my child going to be okay? What will happen to my baby? I was worried a lot about her well-being, and they told me that, well, here in this country, we have some treatment available. You will start right away. You're not going to die, because I kept saying that I was going to die. I was going to die, because that's what I know happens. When you get diagnosed in my country, they just die so quickly. And I didn't even think that I would stay alive to see my daughter, you know, growing. So I was crying for that reason, too. And they said, well, we're going to put you in the medicine and to protect the baby from getting it. And the baby's going to born healthy, hopefully, and you will be okay, too, because we will run more tests for you and you'll be fine. So I took that, and like I say, I had to prove it over the years to see that happening for me to even believe that.
How did you cope? How did you get from being just overwrought with anxiety to becoming this activist and being at peace?
It wasn't an easy road, and if it wasn't for the great group of professionals who were providing counseling for me, and I did promise my doctor that I will make sure I do everything that I'm supposed to make sure I'm okay and to make sure the baby's okay. I didn't miss a dosage of medicine that they gave me for the baby. And, you know, I just went to the counseling. They were coming to me. I was receiving every service that I could to make sure that I'm surviving. You know, I had days where I would just stay home and cry all day. But then after talking to different people, I remember going to my first support group. And there I found people who lived with this disease for 10, 20 years. A group of women, I was just amazed how healthy they looked, how beautiful they looked, and how, you know, positive spirited they were. So I think it's just a combination of those professionals and the people that I saw that lived with this disease for a long time that slowly had an effect on how positive I started to become, because I really felt like everybody was just trying to make me feel better. But, you know, later you meet the actual people and you're like, oh, yeah, they do live longer and they, you know, this is it. You know, maybe I can make it like this person made it, you know. I met some women whose children graduate from high school and they were born when their mothers were pregnant with them. Same situation like my daughter. So that encourages you, I think, the most than any other material can do. I ask questions. You know, I'm very curious patient. The doctors or people who have worked with me know this. You know, I always ask questions because then I reduce my level of anxiety when I get answers, when I know, when I educate myself and know, then I worry less. you know, I went with this for years. Like I say, it didn't happen overnight, but I think that's why right now I am working on helping other people, because I think it happened faster as far as the hope and being encouraged and everything. It happened faster when I meet somebody, an actual person who went through what I am going through. When I met the person and look at them, the level of encouragement happened faster than if somebody or my doctor is just telling me that, oh, you'll be okay, you know. So
do you remember who the first person was that you told after you were diagnosed?
It was a friend of ours. It was a friend, me and the father of my daughter. You know, we were both there during the results. And I just remember screaming because a friend of us had escorted us to the doctor's office. You know, like I say, we didn't really expect that news. So we took him where he gave us a ride. So we stood there, you know, and I just remember panicking. And after I got myself off the floor, I just ran outside where, you know, the father of my child was sitting with his friend. I just scream, I have AIDS, oh my God, I'm going to die, I'm scared. And I was just screaming all over the place. I think I kind of went a little over the top compared to some other people that I've met that, you know, were a little bit more quiet. But that explains how the devastation is in Africa as far as death. I just saw death when I heard that. Mm-hmm. And that's how I reacted. So that was the first person that I just said like that. But then after that, I was disclosing this news to my family, you know, one at a time. You know, I had to recover first before I even had a nerve to tell somebody. It's not easy. Mm-hmm. Some people, it took years for me to tell them, because you always worry how the person is going to react. Is, you know, your relationship with the person going to be the same, or they're going to be scared of you, or are they going to treat you different? But my family had always stayed positive with me and very encouraging, and so I'm blessed that way.
What was the reaction of your friend and your partner when you told them?
Well, they were shocked, of course. You know, the friend of ours was just, you know, the eyes was big and, you know, oh my God, this is a tragedy. Oh my gosh, this is not happening. And of course, you know, my ex now was crying all over the place, and we just hugged each other and just cried, and we just had so many questions for the lady about me and about the baby, and we just wanted to know what's going to happen next. And so we were just fitted with information, you know, from that time. And we went home and we were just thinking maybe it's our last days. You know, we were still, even though they were told us that we're going to be okay, we still thought we are close, so close to dying. So I'm a living proof now that there's still life after diagnosis. There is still life. You just have to do the right things. Hang out with the right people who are positive to you. Stay away from people who would make you feel down. And I had done that over the years. There are some people who were not very nice. They were very judgmental over the years, especially with the stigma going on. So I just took myself away from those group of people and stick around people who would support me emotionally and physically so that I can be okay.
That's great advice. Do you remember what your first CD4 and viral load were?
Yeah, you know, for the first six years, you know, they were actually, they say other than that bad news of HIV positive, your counts are pretty good. You know, your immune system is way above, and it's at the level of a normal healthy person. There were about 1,500 CD4 counts. That's the immune system. And then my viral load was undetectable for 6 years. So I was in a pretty good shape. And
yeah,
they say,
awesome.
You know, the good news is that early diagnosis. We diagnosed you early enough, we think. That's what they told me. They say, you know, it's early enough that you will stay in care. You keep being tested every 4 months, and we're going to monitor you and make sure, you know, when you are in the level where you need to start treatment, we will know. And I did just that. I never stop being in care.
What is your CD4 count and viral load now?
Yeah, now it drops to the upper 300 right now, which is still okay, but it's not the best CD4 counts either. So my doctor and I are thinking of, you know, maybe we should start considering some treatment options and stuff, but I'm still on the watch. I'm still getting monitored. My viral load hasn't duplicated too much. And that's another thing that I want to tell people, that don't let what happens in your life have an effect on your immune system, because, you know, even though there's so many evidence of different things that can suppress the immune system, including the disease itself, what had happened to me for the past few years is there evidence enough to show what lifestyle, what happens around you can have an effect on your immune system? I could see exactly which time frame where I started dropping because of stress and sadness and all these other issues. I lost my father, I lost my ex, and being away from my family back from Africa, and, you know, it's some other stress that everybody, even the people who are not positive, have. Other life stress, you know, would take a toll on somebody sometime. And I'm still working on that to make sure that doesn't put me down. Yeah, so.
Have you been sick ever?
No, not with the HIV related. Like I say, I eat right, I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't do drugs. I try my best. You know, if I ever get sick, I don't want to look at my shoulders and say that, oh, I did this, I did that, you know. I want to be there. I want to be there for my baby. I want to see her graduate from school. I want to be around, and hopefully I want to live long enough to see a chance that maybe I will go back home one day, and so I gotta stay alive for that.
Yeah. What would you say was the most challenging thing about being pregnant and being positive?
For me, because I wasn't very aware of the disease as far as so much information I had to learn. It was a learning process, and also I had to deal with the news also, is that not knowing what's going to happen, or not knowing if your child is going to be born positive or negative, even though there was a good chance of her being born without the disease, still there was a small chance. There was a small percentage of her being born positive. So, you know, with that chance not being eliminated, it bothered me a lot. So I know exactly how it feels to be HIV positive and pregnant, and to worry to death about your unborn child. It tortured me a lot. And again, I had, you know, second doubts. I had second thoughts of, oh, am I really going to be okay when she's born? Will I be well enough to take care of her when she's born? You know, and then to make sure you stick with your medicine regimen. It was after several hours. I don't remember exactly how many hours, but I was waking up in the night to take the pills. It was after a few hours I had to take the medicine, and I already promised myself that I'm not going to get my child sick, so I'm going to stay on the medicine 100%. So that was kind of challenging too. And, you know, the fact that, well, this child probably saved my life, because I think I was so depressed to the point of thinking of suicide, and thinking that I have a child inside me and she don't deserve to die, even though I do. That was the thought that I had at that time. Mm-hmm. I say, well, then I'm not going to do anything to myself because I have this baby. So that was a good reason for me to take care of myself, that I'm carrying somebody else. So I really think that people who don't have babies, you know, they're not pregnant and they just get this news, they should really try to talk to people, and to the right people, and get some help, because it could get terrifying.
Are you in a partnership now? You have a boyfriend or a husband or?
You know, no. Right now, my ex has decided to leave me when he found out he wasn't positive. He had to get tested and he left. So, you know, I had to move on. He found somebody else and, you know, he started a family. And for a long time, I thought that that's it, that's the end, you know, I just have to deal with my disease. I don't think I would have any relationships at all. This is it, you know, nothing will happen to me. But then years pass and I say, you know, life goes on. Maybe I need to give myself a chance again. So I did, and I just have that consideration, you know, there's some possibility, you know, there's somebody that I like. So, you know, I think that there's nothing official yet or anything. There's nothing. I'm open to whatever that God provides for me as far as relationship. I want to be open-minded about that. And if I like the person and the person likes me, they will ask me the right questions, and then I will find myself in a relationship again. So let's cross our fingers.
I'll keep my fingers crossed for you.
All
that's great.
All the guy has to do is ask the right question.
When the time does come to, you know, start another relationship, how will you address safe sex?
Well, that's always the bottom line. You know, my life is not the same anymore. And, you know, before I was diagnosed, I didn't put so much of importance of you know, using protection for whatever reason that I had at that time. But right now, I can't think of any kind of sex without protection. It just seems so bizarre for me to have any kind of relationship without protection. So that would be my number one thing. Whether the person is positive or whether the person is negative, you know, that's going to be the one main thing that we all have to make sure we practice safe relationships. And, you know, like I say, you know, you just because you have this disease, it doesn't mean that it's the end of the world. You know, people do find partners in life and they move on. So I'm open to that. And like I say, that's going to be the bottom line. And, you know, I'm open to even start family, you know, in the future. I can see that happening. But again, I subject everything to God's will. Right now, I'm grateful for my daughter. And if that's the only family that I will ever have, I'm positively grateful for that too. But I keep my options open.
Good for you. Speaking of family, do you have the support of your family? I know they live a long way away, but...
Yeah, very much. Very much. They, you know, it's really sad that I don't get to be with them while I'm dealing with this, but... You know, I have a set of wonderful friends. It's not that many of them, but I'm blessed with a nice, wonderful set of people who are like my family. And I've never knew them before. When I got here, I just made friends with them. And my family stay very supportive of me. They talk to me constantly on the phone. And they pray for me and, you know, they are there for me. So I'm blessed that way. My dad was the rock for me, was the best man that I have ever, you know, be in my life. So he was the person who would tell me, you know, you're going to be okay. You're going to beat this, you know, you're going to, you know, and unfortunately he died before he got to hold me again and tell me that it's going to be okay. But yes, they're very, very, very encouraging to me.
That's wonderful. What's your best disclosure story?
Well, disclosure story. You mean when I shared my story with people?
Yeah, what's the best reaction anybody ever had?
Well, the best one was my first time when I told my story in public. I remembered after my father died, I just, you know, everything seemed to be like, okay, this is it, you know, it's the end of the world. But then I decided I'm going to go out and I'm going to share my story and I'm going to touch people and I'm going to, you know, say about awareness and maybe somebody will be touched by this so that it's not all ended with tragedy. And I remember I got invitation to Kentucky. They had a fundraiser gala for World AIDS Day last year. And that was my first time to go up there and say my story, because that's all they wanted me to do, just say your story and that's it. And I remember after I finished, everybody was up and they stood there for a few minutes. They were clapping constantly. And I remember looking, I'm like, what is so special about this thing? You know, like I was overwhelmed. You know, they just had that stand up innovation for me. And that was probably the only one that I can remember that was, over the top reaction kind of thing from the people. Because I just thought, well, this is a shame. You know, here I am telling my business right in front of the people. I don't know how they're going to react, what they're going to think about me and this and that. But then the outcome was just remarkable. People, they were coming after that and talked to me and thanked me for sharing my story and encouraging me. And, you know, the pastor from the community said, people here, they're very uptight and very conservative thinking about this disease. They have their way of thinking about the people with this disease. So you kind of put a new face on it and thank you. And we want you to come back and speak to our church. So that was a good thing that had happened from my first time to tell my story.
Yeah, that's a great story.
Yeah.
How do you think HIV has changed you?
Oh, big time. Changed the way I think the life is so short. It's shorter than what I had like long plans before. And of course, I think it's just so privileged to be alive. I just take like that. And that could be a good thing. That could also be a bad thing, because then, you know, stuff that you thought it was very important before, stuff that you would think that, oh, I need to take care of this and that, and you start looking, you're like, you know what? I'm alive. That's all that matters. So for years, stuff that I was after, I kind of stopped being after that too much, putting too much pressure on making sure this and that. You know, all I was concentrating is, you know what? I woke up today, I'm alive, and that's all that matters. So the outlook of the whole being alive thing, you know, is changed. And then, I don't know, the diagnosis and being a mother for the first time, it came at the same time. I don't know if it helped me to be a better mother to my child, because sometimes I look at her and I say, well, maybe these are my healthiest years. I don't know if I'm going to be this healthy for a long time. And if not, then maybe I should do the best I can right now with her. So it kind of helped me to do stuff, not to take things for granted so much, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was it like when you disclosed to your partner and he then tested?
Well, he heard right there when we were, you know, like I say, when by the time we got home, he already knew what I was going through. So he thought it was him, actually, initially.
He thought he gave you HIV.
He thought he did, because he knows that, you know, besides him, there was one more relationship that I had. He knew the whole story, and nobody else, you know, nobody else besides him and that other relationship that had happened when we were not together. So he thought it was him initially. But then after he did the test and then the test supposedly came negative, then the whole thing changed. And you would think that HIV was something that hit me, but I had to stay years of being emotionally abused by him just by using that disease status. And I don't know, being not from here, you know, we kept it inside for a while, and that was probably the worst thing too. That's when the most damage happened. And then, you know, after years, he decided he wanted to be with somebody else, and he left. And not only leaving, but disclosing the status to other community members from my community. So you face that stigma that is already there. So it makes it worse. Not only you lose your partner, but then you have to face this other issue of, okay, this woman, because that's all people have to know. When he disclosed my status online, he didn't have to say furthermore, because people already look at you as a dirty person or something. I don't know. It's just horrible. So that's another challenge that I had to go through as far as relationships is concerned, that, you know, I have this, and then so therefore I'm not worthy on somebody. anymore. So the disease, you know, it get to hit you both ways anyways.
After he left, how did you get from this point of feeling like, just feeling bad about yourself and about everything, to feeling good and realizing that it was him that screwed up?
Yeah, well, of course, I didn't realize the damage that he had done until after he left, you know. When he left, that's when, you know, when you start recovering, that's when you realize how terrible you were feeling before. And, you know, everything from how you take care of yourself to how you feel and everything is just, it's terrible. Dealing with HIV itself is hard, but then, you know, with the stuff like that on top of that, it just damages your self-esteem, it damages your... I don't know, it's just terrible. But then somehow, that's what I say, if somebody's in that position now, I would just encourage them, it's going to get better, because I can't believe that I can stand in front of people right now and tell my story like that, coming from not wanting anybody to know my business, period, and being scared about that. So yeah, it's going to be okay. Somehow, when you hit to the floor, to the, you know, to the bottom, you just, the only way to go is up. And for me, I don't know other people, for me, that was it. I either had to finish up myself and just be miserable for the rest of my life, or get up and get better and do something positive. And I don't know, the more you surround yourself with positive people, the better you feel. That's, you know, if I stuck in that environment and the same sets of people that was negative, I think I would still be feeling the same way. So you find a network of people that support you, I don't know, or just be on your own and you somehow find your own strength and get better.
Wow, that's terrific advice. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to This Positive Life. For more podcasts and other first-person stories, please visit us online at thebody.com. If you'd like to share your story, please email us at podcast@thebody.com.
The opinions expressed by hosts or interviewees in this podcast do not constitute professional advice, should not be considered substitutes for professional services, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of Body Health Resources Corporation or its sponsors. Please see the full disclaimer online at thebodypro.com. If you have comments or questions, please contact us.